four rotating hosts for this program. And this morning, we are very fortunate to have with us Mr. Ken Wheely from the Indian Trail Academy, a music teacher, and also the person who puts together the November KUSD Jazz Festival. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Mike.
I never miss the jazz festival. In fact, I never miss any jazz concerts that we have here in Kenosha. The music program is so good. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the program in general and about what we have planned for this Saturday evening?
Sure. Well, Mike, it's going to follow the format of previous jazz festivals where we have all of the middle school and high school bands perform one number each. We restrict them to one number because the concert would turn out to be a marathon otherwise. So everybody gets their one tune to play. And it's really a great showcase for all the great stuff that the kids are doing in jazz in our middle schools and high schools. And after we do the, you know, get through all the middle schools and high schools, we bring out this faculty big band, which is just a lot of fun. We have a lot of older guys that play. You know, the faculty is made up of great trombonists and saxophonists and trumpet players that are teachers. And then we bring in a few ringers, too. You may know a guy named Tommy Meredith. He's a lead trumpet player in Milwaukee, and he's the guy that holds down the lead chair for us in this big band. So we come out and we do a few numbers featuring our guest artist. It's just a great way to kind of close the concert. And the kids who are out there watching us who have just performed, when they see the teachers get up on stage, it's a real thrill for them. They don't real often see us in that role as performers. So I know they get a big kick out of that, too.
And I said this Saturday, I should make clear to everybody, this is Saturday, November 12th, that the concert will be, and it's at 6:30.
That's right.
And is there an admission charge?
Yes, there is an admission charge, and the tickets are all being taken care of through our Kenosha Unified Fine Arts Department, so people who are interested should go to the Fine Arts, KUSD Fine Arts webpage, and they can go ahead and place their orders that way online. Tickets are going fast, so I advise everybody to place their orders, you know, as soon as possible.
And what is the charge for that? If you know,
I don't know. But yeah, it's all kind of laid out there. I think it's in the area of $4 or $5.
Okay. Well worth it. It's a great concert. I have always thoroughly enjoyed the concerts. Is there any? Are there clinics for the kids that are involved in this prior to the concert?
Yes, we have Friday evening clinics for the high school groups. And our guest artist this year, Sal Lozano, will get a chance to hear all the individual bands play. And then he'll go up and give those guys some pointers from his perspective on what he's hearing and give those kids some ideas on how to improve. And then the following morning we have the middle schools go through the same rotation, and Sal will work with all of those middle school groups as well. So he really earns his money that weekend. You know, we really put him through his paces with the probably at least 13 or 14 high school bands and then the five middle school groups. It's a good workout for him, and we're real excited to have Sal. His credentials as a performer and as a teacher are just extraordinary. You know, he plays with the Gordon Goodwin Band, which jazz aficionados will tell you is the top big band out there right now from L.A. And Sal also has a resume of performing with Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. And he's one of those guys that's the first call artist when they want a saxophonist to come out and perform in L.A.
People needn't be afraid of the fact that they're hearing high school students or even middle school students, because some of these kids are just phenomenal. And I've always impressed me. I the Kenosha middle school jazz bands, they sound like high school bands, except maybe they don't have as many instruments. And the high school bands, they sound like college bands.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. I mean, we've always been lucky, you know, to have a strong, really strong tradition of musical excellence here in this town. And as you know, it started way back with Ralph Houghton and, you know, a continuing line of wonderful teachers. And the other part of the equation that sometimes gets forgotten is the fact that parents in our community have always bought into the value of music for their own kids and supported it in extraordinary ways. So it's that recipe for success. You know, you great teachers and then the support of the community going hand in hand with that.
And do alumni play with the faculty band?
Once in a while we bring back an alumni. I think this year we have a few coming back. My own son, Jake, who is a graduate of Tremper, who's now a band director in Janesville, he'll be coming back and playing some of the trumpet parts. I'm racking my brains here. Most of the trombone section, actually, it's a really big trombone section made up of all the band directors. Let's see, the saxophonist, Garrett Kornman will be playing. He's an alum, a Tremper grad, and the conductor of the Kenosha Pops band. He's a great alto saxophonist. He'll be playing with us. And one of the real all-stars of Kenosha alums in terms of jazz is a guy by the name of John Storino, who was, last year was the top drummer in the North Texas 1 o'clock band. John will be flying back from Denton, Texas to be with us. And I'm really looking forward to that. Having him play with the big band is always a thrill. And, yeah, my other son, Ken, is playing trombone in the band. This year, I think it kind of worked out where some of the alumni who have been so successful have other gigs that night. It's nice to know that they're working and have gigs. So this year, I'm not sure about, other than Garrett, what the alumni saxophones will be. But I'll tell you, it'll be a fantastic, fantastic group.
Yeah, Kenosha does have such an excellent program. I didn't know about that when I came to Kenosha in 1970. I came here to start a law practice, and I did. And my friend Bob Bramshire, who became my partner, he was still a senior in law school in Madison. Bob was into jazz, and he had played saxophone in high school. And we talked, and I talked, why don't you come down here and join me? And it wasn't a financially attractive offer, but he came to Kenosha because of Kenosha's reputation for music and because he had been so impressed with Kenosha school musicians in the events that he had played in. Another thing that the music program here has attracted that impressed me and that Bob and I both enjoyed is the number of big name bands that came here. There haven't been any recently, but...
There was a stretch there where we were really attracting a lot of the big name. Maynard would come through, and Kenton and Basie and...
Yeah, Maynard was through here about 8 years ago, I think, in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But the first year that I was here, Stan Kenton was here, and he was back a second time. And Woody Herman. Woody Herman was here. He played at St. Joe's. And Duke Ellington was here a couple of times. In fact, there's a recording of there's an album that was made of his.
Really?
Duke Ellington at Carthage College.
Oh, okay.
Because he played at the field house.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that recording. That'd be cool. I mean, I remember when Maynard was here, I went out to out in the county. I can't remember what it was. It was like the early 80s. And hearing that band play was just, those guys were just incredibly athletic in the way that they played their instruments. And a guy named Steve Wiest was playing trombone at the time, and of course Maynard was in his prime, and it was just so, so exciting. And that kind of music really connected with high school kids. I remember Maynard was really popular on the college and high school circuit because of that just sheer power and excitement of the band.
How do you select the music that the bands play at this level? I've always been impressed when I looked on the list of tunes, because there's a couple of years ago the Manteca theme and some other things that you wouldn't normally expect high school and middle school bands to be playing.
Well, you know, every year you try to find a tune that fits your group, and you try to sort of tailor fit it to the soloists that you have, and find things that'll bring out the strengths of your group. This year we're playing we have four jazz bands in Indian Trail, so I've got, as you would imagine, you know, good soloists in each of those groups. And this year with the top band, we found an arrangement called Barn Burner. It's by Les Hooper, and it's just a really, as you can imagine, an up-tempo tune, and kids will be so excited because we're going to feature Sal on that tune, and he'll really show off his strength as, you know, somebody who's got a lot of chops and can really play fast and negotiate chord changes quickly, and so that'll be a lot of fun. Kids are looking forward to that. And then Tremper and Bradford, also their top bands, we'll have a chance to have Sal as their guest artist. And there's something really special about that, because kids being able to share the stage with the guest artist and be performing with the guest artist, many times that's the thing that they remember the most, you know. So it's pretty cool.
It is cool. I'm thinking back to, I think it was 3 years ago when Andy Martin was here.
Yeah, yeah.
One kid was on saxophone, was really having a great solo.
Right, right.
And Andy went out there and played with him, and they traded back and
traded
forth
back
and
back
and
forth, right.
And it just built and built. And it was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I mean, and like, you know, exactly. And those kids just will have it, when they have a chance to rub elbows with somebody like that and perform with somebody like that, you notice them right away. They elevate their performance in a way. They just kind of step things up, because they know they're with somebody who's world class, and it's fun to see the kids just kind of step things up that way. So that's one of the real magical parts of the festival. And, you know, Dave Storino, who is our sponsor, has been our sponsor every year from Hanson's Pool and Spa. Dave came through Kenosha, is a Tremper graduate, and has always believed in the value of that kind of experience for kids and how powerful it can be. And we're really grateful to him for his sponsorship. I mean, he has brought in, you know, to this year we have Sal. Last year it was the guy who played with the Blues Brothers, Tom Bones Malone. The year prior to that, I think it was Andy Martin. I think Andy was here from Gordon Goodwin at that time. We also had Dan Farnero with the Gordon Goodwin Band. So, you know, the fact that Dave has believed so much in this festival is so gratifying from a teacher's perspective, that he's willing to sponsor this event. And I know that all the teachers in Kenosha are really grateful to him for that.
One of the other reasons this program is such a success is the band boosters.
Yes.
I know a couple of people on that. Mike Falkowski on the school board is one of them. Mm-hmm. And they are just so enthusiastic about music in Kenosha.
Right. And kind of just like we talked about before, I mean, this parent commitment that we have in this community is, I've never seen anything like it. You know, I've had a chance to go out and see other music situations that, you know, in Wisconsin, and they have strong booster groups, but we are unique that way in Kenosha. And it's, I think it kind of goes back to Ralph and the tradition that he established. He was such a dynamic leader, and he got things in place here while he was a fine arts coordinator. And that legacy has continued to this day.
Now, his son is Dave Houghton.
Son is Dave, and then his other son is Steve.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve is the drummer?
Steve's the drummer. Steve's the guy that he actually played with Woody Herman. He's on the percussion faculty at University of Indiana now. And we had Steve out to do our festival, and he's been a big part of, you know, coming back and giving back to our program, too.
I remember that concert well. because that was at Tremper then, still,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because the gorgeous theater at at Indian Trail hadn't been built yet. But there was you had a vibes player who played with four mallets, mm-hmm. like Gary Burton.
Yes.
And he was a phenomenal musician.
Yes, that's John Storino, and that's Dave's son, who and then went from there on to North Texas. And John improvises on vibes at a really high level, and then was an incredible set player. He is an incredible set player too. And we were lucky enough to have him back on staff this summer with the Kenosha Jazz All Stars, and John was a part of the faculty and performing with us. And so, yeah, the guy, he's lights out. He's just a great musician.
With regard to the numbers that the students play, do they have any voice in that?
No. Well, a little bit. I mean, we kind of, kids, you know, unfortunately, I mean, just the kind of the way the kids are, you know, they'd rather play probably a tune by Beyonce or, you know, the pop musicians. And it's our job. We've always felt real strongly that we need to make sure they understand there's this whole nother type of music out there that if we can get them hooked on that, we're really doing our job. So, you know, it's a matter of getting them excited about playing this type of music. You know, they don't hear this type of music on the radio or, you know, and they see it on TV. It's not the kind of music that's spoon-fed to them over and over. They have to go and seek it out. And I think all of us on the staff look at it as our responsibility to make sure that, like you were saying, you know, the music of Ellington, the music of Stan Kenton, Count Basie, Gordon Goodwin, those type of opportunities are, you know, we can get kids understanding, hey, this stuff's pretty cool too.
Yeah, because I guess what I was getting to is a part of music education has to be listening as well as playing, and exposing them to all of the great music that's out there.
Right.
I'm sure high school kids wouldn't be particularly excited to play a bebop tune.
Right.
And maybe not Afro-Cuban, but...
Right.
But so do you spend time exposing them to music, listening to recordings?
Yes. Yes, and that's a huge part of it. We're so lucky now. I mean, we were just talking before we went on the air about how, you know, we were listening to vinyl and checking out Bill Watrous and his recordings. And, you know, we had to, our way of listening and checking out that music was all audio. And now that with the YouTube age, that has really transformed education, music education, where I can, in my band room, I can pull up a YouTube video of, you know, Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Orchestra, show them a performance of Stan Kenton back in the 50s or 60s, even, you know, if there's and it's a magical way, a real more powerful way of, because kids are, you know, video now is the way they, it's what they, you know, that's the way they learn. And for them to watch a video recording of the big bands really sets them up for excitement, and it's a great way to introduce them to this kind of music. And then they see the performers, you know, really getting into it, and the visual parts of the music, you know, that's a real advantage over the old, you know, when we were just listening to vinyl and trying to imagine, you know, what it was like live. So that's probably the best way to get kids hooked on the kind of music that, you know, we're performing at the festival.
You know, you're talking about the accessibility of music, the accessibility of jazz for students, the opportunities for them to hear jazz live are so much fewer now than they were then. You were talking about Lawrence College a while ago. When I lived in Green Bay, I was able to go down to Lawrence College and hear the Modern Jazz Quartet, and it was very accessible. And when it came to Kenosha, all the bands that we talked about played here, and students had an opportunity to hear that. One of the things we try and do at WGTD here to give our station a plug is Saturday night after Garrison Keillor's show is all jazz till 2:00 in the morning. And it's locally produced for the most part. I do the first 2 hours, and then Then we have Tim Bell with Big Bands and Beyond, and then we have John Nicholson after that for an hour, and then we go to Network Jazz. So it's accessible, but not many kids tune in the local public radio station.
Right.
And so they don't get to hear a lot, but it was so wonderful, and we had such great opportunities, people like you and I, when the jazz was around, when the big bands were on. I think I heard Stan Kenton 8 or 10 times.
Yeah.
And Duke Ellington several times. I got to work security once for Duke
really?
Ellington up at UWM. But that's just not available. I'll tell you one anecdote. It's probably not pertinent to the KUSD situation, but my friend Bob Brampshire that I mentioned and I were up at Summerfest to hear Stan Kenton, and the weather was very threatening. And so the crowd dwindled and dwindled and dwindled as the time approached, and there were only a very small number of us still there. Kenton hadn't left. He was walking around talking to all of us, as he always did. You know, did it very well. Duke Ellington did that, too. He liked to walk around the audience. And then a sheriff's squad pulled up on Hone Bridge and said there was a severe weather warning and they were closing the grounds. And suddenly the wind picked up, and Kenton shouted to all his all the guys in his band who were over at getting a beer or something, whatever, come back, close up the curtains around the stage. And so he called on us, the 8 or 10 of us who were there, to help. And so we helped, and one of the things we did was we grabbed music, and it was starting to blow away, and we got up there, and the rain started pouring down. We had the heavy curtains around there, and Kenton said, you know, these people were so nice to us. The Summerfest is over for the evening, but let's play a concert for them.
Oh.
So we were up there with the band, and my friend Bob Brampshire, the saxophone player, he's over there standing next to Willie Maiden turning music for him. And just a wonderful experience. But
that's a great story. Wow.
Not many opportunities for that anymore, other than for kids who get to play with Sal Lozano and Andy Martin.
Yeah. Right. I mean, think about that, though. I mean, the kind of good nature of somebody like Stan Kenton, who would be that generous with his time. And
he had an enormous interest in jazz education.
Right.
Real connection with North Texas State, as you mentioned, but with other schools as well. He would often give clinics if he had a couple days off when he was playing someplace. I think he did that with the Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Eau Claire band once.
Well, it's funny. You talk about stories about Stan Kenton. When I was a senior in high school, my dad, who was our band director up in Ironwood, Michigan, at this tiny little school up in the UP of Upper Peninsula of Michigan, we traveled down to Green Bay for the jazz festival down there. And at the jazz festival, the headliner was the Stan Kenton band. And we heard them. At the time, they had this really unusual setup. They had the brass in one, like, wing of the band. You know, traditionally, big bands set up saxophones and the trombones and trumpets, you know, in three rows.
Yeah, that's why the saxophones and the trumpet players get all the dates and the players in the middle don't.
So, but Kenton was doing this thing where he was, you know, brass were on one side of the band, and then the saxophones and the rhythm section was, like, on another, and they sort of formed the letter A. And I think his rationale was, well, it would just sound better. You would hear the saxophones better. You could just distinguish them more. And it was really fascinating to hear the blend of that group. But before Kenton came out at that jazz festival, they had to present the winner of the competition that day of all the high school bands. And the winner that in that year that was selected was the Kenosha Tremper High School Band under the direction of Jim Furkel, featuring this unbelievable trumpet soloist named Dan Fennero. And I remember sitting there, kid from Michigan, and listening to this big band from Kenosha and thinking, my gosh, I can't believe this high school band could sound like this. And then having Kenton follow that was unusual, never dreaming at all that, 5 years, 6 years from then, I would be in Kenosha and, meeting Jim Furco and getting to know all the Kenosha people. And it just was kind of remarkable that it turned out that way. At that same festival, I met the guy who was going to be my teacher for the next 4 years, Fred Sturm from Lawrence University. And it just, it's funny how things work out. You sort of look back on that, those kind of events, and you think, wow, everything just kind of lined up that weekend, But, yeah, I mean, we have, Dan Fennero from, there was another alumni that I didn't mention before when you were asking me about alumni. Dan played in Jim Furco's Tremper Band with Dave Storino and went on to incredible things. He's with the Gordon Goodwin Band now and performing. He just came out with his own album a few years ago, but Dan's another great success story, a Kenosha kid that in jazz that really did well.
Okay, why don't we listen to a bit from your guest artist, Sal Lozano. This is from, I found this just by luck. I knew I had some recordings with Sal Lozano on him. This is from Bill Watrous' big band album. It was recorded around 2000. The band was known as, had the nickname of Refuge West, because Watrous' most famous group was the one that made him famous, the Manhattan Wildlife Refuge. And we'll join it about halfway through the recording, we'll pick it up just where Lozano's solo starts. Thank you. Okay, that tune goes on for several minutes more, so we'll just come back. You made a couple comments about Salazana while we were listening to that. Maybe you want to share those.
Sure. You know, Sal's sound on soprano is just so mellow, and there's not any edge to it at all. It's really one of the most beautiful soprano sounds that I know of. There have been other really famous jazz artists. We were talking about Coltrane, and his soprano sax sound was so different than that, his concept of sound. And it's, for me, my own, you know, preference is I just like that real mellow approach to that. And that's what's going to be fun. Hopefully Sal will do some soprano work when he's here. And he plays clarinet as well. He's a real accomplished clarinetist too.
Yeah, a neglected instrument.
Yeah.
Comment you made earlier about growing up in the UP, I didn't realize that. I'm originally from Marinette, Monona.
Oh, you are? Okay.
So I was always a frustrated musician because there was no elementary school music program up there.
Yeah.
I went through eighth grade there, and there was no music program. We just did some singing.
Like a general class music thing.
Right.
Yeah.
If you wanted to learn music, you learned to play the accordion. And I knew a lot of accordion players, but I never was interested in the accordion. I was trombone was what I wanted to play, probably because my dad was a big Jack Teagarden fan.
Uh-huh.
But
so you grew up listening to the trombone a lot.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. My dad worked at a radio station, and so did my uncle Pat, and they both had strong musical interest, and so they brought home tons and tons of 78s.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got to listen to a lot of music. But then we moved to Nina.
Okay.
And Nina did have elementary music. And in high school, they had both a symphony orchestra and a band. And so my brother and I would have been way behind everybody else.
Right.
And so I never came to pass that I had musical opportunities that people down here have.
Yeah.
And I guess I told that story as a way to segue to give you an opportunity to talk something about the whole music program at Kenosha Unified.
Yeah, I mean, the way the program is designed has proven really successful for kids. You know, we have always had a real strong general music staff, you know, and then once those kids get to that age where they're, you know, in fourth grade for strings, fifth grade for band, they're really prepared to play an instrument then because they've gotten that really great foundation. And, you know, that's been a hallmark of our program. And then the other thing that I think people may not realize, it kind of sets Kenosha apart, is that we have a strong collection of really outstanding private teachers in the community. So, like, if I have a student in my high school band that's playing clarinet really well and they're looking to improve, many times, most of the time, I'll send them in the direction of Jim Furco, or, you know, we have a young teacher named Brittany Sabetic, who's an awesome teacher, a private teacher. And we have people like that in our community on all those different instruments who we can send kids to that can extend their learnings even beyond what they're getting in the normal band. And you know, that's been a luxury that we've enjoyed in Kenosha. And, you know, my son is a band director in Janesville, and he's loving every minute of it. But he you know, told me last weekend, he said, "Dad, you know, we don't have that, like in Kenosha, in Janesville, we don't have that collection of great private teachers that you can just use as resources for each instrument." So it's interesting.
Yeah, we have bands, we have orchestra,
mm-hmm.
and we have choir.
Yes,
and all those options are available to kids beginning at the elementary level.
Right, right. And you know, I have kids at Indian Trail who are in choir as well. They're able to fit that into their schedule, and so they'll take a band with me, and they'll take a choir with my colleague John Che, who's an amazing Coral teach? I mean, the guy's just—he's
a motivator.
He's a motivator. He's got the football coach mentality, and you know, being tough with the kids, but then a really unbelievable understanding of choral music. I was just sitting down with him today. We're picking out our music for our winter festival, and just so much fun to make decisions about what we're going to play and to be able to work with him. So what I'm trying to say is the comprehensive nature of the program, the band, orchestra, choir, all working equally well. I think that's pretty rare.
Yeah, I would say so. With regard to Mr. Che, he does demand, he does expect a lot, but he is not a martinet. His students love him.
Exactly.
Because he gets more out of them than they realize they had.
Right.
And so he communicates the excitement of the music.
Yes, very passionate. Yep.
One of the things I was privileged to do when I was doing media for teaching media for the school district was one year they lost their media production person. And so I, with my EBSOLA students and some students from Indian Trail that had been in my broadcasting radio production class, we did Choir Fest and we did Orchestra Fest.
Really?
And those kids loved it and they were good at it, but really got to appreciate it. There is something about the sound of those choirs, massive choirs.
Oh, I know.
Singing a song like Shenandoah.
Right.
It just is magical.
It really is, yeah. Yeah, and then they have the advantage, those choir people have the advantage of the text, and then exploring the meaning of the text that they're singing. Instrumentalists don't have that luxury, so that brings even a deeper way of understanding what they're trying to express. So, yeah, we've got a great set of teachers here in choir as well.
Well, folks are going to be able to hear the jazz bands and hear some some excellent music on next Saturday, the 12th, at 6:30 at Indian Trail Academy. Why don't you tell them something about the facility out there? When I was substitute teaching, I taught in that program a couple of times and had an opportunity to walk around and just take it all in. And it's an amazing facility, not just for music, but also for the performing arts. There's a great stagecraft. Set up there, but you can tune the room with the wave panels on the ceiling, and you've got there's a practice room for large groups that you could use as a dirigible hangar, and all those space age practice rooms. Tell them a little bit about it.
Well, we have three large rehearsal rooms there. And like you said, we're lucky enough to, they're really state-of-the-art, acoustically treated, wonderful rehearsal spaces for the kids to rehearse day in and day out in. And then we have an auditorium that seats 1,200. And acoustically, it was treated by a gentleman who worked for the Boston Pops. And so he came in and he really did a marvelous job in getting the auditorium to be acoustically amazing. And then we have these sound treatment shell from the Winger company that behind the performing group that helped to shape the sound as it leaves the stage. The whole thing kind of came about as a result of a referendum that was passed in around 2010. The community saw fit to pass a $52 million referendum, and the support of so many community leaders. I think about Dr. Ormseth and Pat Fenimore, and that were the driving force behind, Dr. Robert Wells helping to shape this facility. And when you go into a project like that, you realize, this is your one shot. This is your one chance to really do it right. And so you don't want to mess it up. And I think that there are so many things that they got right in the process. And I always still kind of pinch myself when I'm in that facility rehearsing, thinking about how lucky I am. I mean, I taught at Lincoln in the basement, Lincoln Middle School, Junior High, for quite a few years. So I know what the other side of the coin looks like. So now Lincoln does have a good music area, and they did some renovation as well. But yeah, it's a great place to rehearse. And, you know, there's something about that transfers then over to the kids when they have a special place like that. And, you know, they step up their game.
Yeah, and the as far as the amplification and so on, that is pretty much concealed. You don't have all these monitors and speakers on the stage. And the acoustics are such that they're probably as good on that amplified acoustics. Probably as good as the Reuther Auditorium, which is wonderful.
Right.
So the sound is great, and the seating is luxurious.
Yes, it is.
It's so comfortable to sit in a concert.
It's a great place to come and view a concert, and very comfortable, and air conditioning. Now, with the weather we're having, maybe that we'll have to turn the air conditioning on. Who knows? But, it's a great venue to enjoy a concert. And we have that – usually have that balcony available for people to also view the concert from. This one we won't have it available, because that's where we keep all the middle school kids. After they perform, they go on up there and watch the concert from up there. So the audience will be on the front, you know, on the main floor, but there's really not a bad seat in the house there.
Okay, we have just enough time for you to tell people again how they go about getting reservations.
The best way is to go right on the KUSD website and find the Fine Arts Department on the website, and then there's a link on that page where you can go ahead and order your tickets online. And we're really going to a strictly online basis this year, and it makes it so much easier. So people should, you know, really make an effort to get their tickets online and in advance, so that they're good to go for that evening.
I'm glad I told you. You told me that, because I want to make sure I get my tickets.
Yep.
Okay, with that, we'll wrap it up. This has been Education Matters. My name is Mike Keough. My guest is Ken Wheely from Indian Trail Academy.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, wgtd.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.